Okay, so we're going to be talking about DNS and encryption and hopefully encrypted DNS. Before we get into that, I want to start off and let our panelists introduce themselves.
Hi, everyone. My name is Xavier Ash. I've been a hacker since the late 80s. I've been in the security industry since the early 90s, and most of my career as a consultant, and I'm currently running a incident response team for a local financial institution.
I'm Randall Schwartz. You may remember me for having written a bunch of books about Perl in the mid-90s that helped create the interactive web, and I also have this wonderful little podcast called Floss Weekly. I've been doing that for 11 years. Who's a subscriber to PLOS Weekly? Thank you. Good to see you. All right. And now I'm also a Google developer expert on the Flutter and Dart programming languages. So I'm expanding myself one more time.
And I am Erica Portnoy. I am a technologist at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We are a nonprofit defending civil liberties in the digital world. I work on our net neutrality project, I work on stopping crypto backdoors, and in the rest of my time, I work on developing CertBot, which is a tool to get certificates for your website to turn on HTTPS using Let's Encrypt, the free certificate authority. But we're not talking about any of that today. Today we are talking about DNS, when we will get to what encrypted DNS means. But first, show of hands, who's heard the word DNS before? Wow, okay. Who knows what it means and what it is and what it does? Okay, who would be able to explain DNS to their sibling? Okay.
Who has explained it to their siblings? There we go.
Ah, yeah, that's exactly. It's a larger show of hands than the previous one. Okay, so I saw awesome. About like 10% awesome. Of the room who did not raise a hand, so to get everybody on the same page super quickly, when you want to go to a website on your computer, like Randall just did, you type in the domain in the URL bar, and when you type that domain in, it goes off to a service, and it translates this service into a bunch of numbers, and then your computer actually goes to a server located at those particular numbers. The service that does this translation, the one that translates from the domain name to the numbers, kind of like a telephone book for your internet, is called DNS. So, but you might not have known that it does all these things when it goes to the site in the first place. It doesn't just go directly to this particular domain name. It doesn't go to, what are we on here, cloudflare.com.
Yep.
It needs to be translated into these numbers. And so when you eventually go to the site located at the place where the numbers are, that might be encrypted using something called HTTPS, TLS, or SSL, depending what year it is. And you could tell it's encrypted because it'll often have a green lock icon in the URL bar. But before it does this, before it actually tries to fetch the web page for you, it needs to go and do this translation. And the thing about doing that translation is that it's kind of hard to have that service be encrypted. There's been a whole bunch of tries over the years, and there's things that you can do personally. But nowadays, pretty recently actually, we're just starting to do some experiments with ways to make that step of the process encrypted as well. And just in case, encrypted means that other people can't see it. Very short version there. So I think that's about going to get us on the same page here.
To kind of extend that, I love this little analogy that when you're especially trying to explain this to your sibling, is if you give somebody your telephone for them to make a phone call. They can take your phone, they dial the number, and they step out for privacy, and they go and talk on their phone. They come back, and they give you your phone back. And so, and in that case, the phone conversation itself was encrypted. They stepped out. You couldn't hear them. However, you can look back at your phone and see the phone number that you called. And so that's the kind of situation we're in here, is that the DNS lookup is making that, it's like it's telling somebody what website you went to. And that doesn't, like I said, it doesn't encrypt the actual communication between the website and you, but you've got that telltale sign that you at least went to that website, and so that's one of the reasons that you would want to encrypt your DNS.
Except it's not just in your browser, it's actually all the way at the other end as well. So somebody can see that you went to google.com or whatever, or other sites, I'll just leave it at that. So the problem is that you really want to be able to say, I want to go look up these IP addresses without having to be visible to the internet.
Okay, so I was hoping we could take a step back and instead of getting into the nitty-gritty of the technical details, talk about who we're talking about here. So why am I worried about this? Who is seeing this information? Like, is it someone like Randall? Actually, I was hoping you can maybe tell everybody like what the parties are along the way. Who is it that we want to protect from seeing this information in the first place?
So from the beginning, as you try to look up an address, as you try to look up a name, you're going to one of, I think it's 13 root servers, and they will all have access to your information. They will know that you're looking up this domain name, google.com, whatever, right? But also, your ISP can see that you're making this request. So people can track that. People can see that nearby. And in fact, if we're on Wi-Fi here, people can see every request you're making on Wi-Fi here. So people know you're going to these websites. And that's a little scary sometimes. It's like, why do people care what I'm seeing? But sometimes you care that people care.
So you've done some, like, not forensics work but necessarily, but like web security work and doing pen testing sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. How easy would it be for you to, if someone in this room right now, on, let's assume this is an open Wi-Fi network, you had a computer out, how easy would it be for you to see what their DNS requests that they were making were?
Yeah, everything, all
Should
DNS
I show
requests.
This? Should I show it?
So all DNS requests are in the clear, and, yes. and it yes. uses a particular protocol called UDP, which is super simple too. It just sends out a packet, and it's all there for you to pick up and read.
Right.
And in Wi-Fi world, all, you know, it's all in the air, and so all I have to do is, you know, do a little bit of trickery to set it up, but then can start capturing every single DNS request you make.
Sounds like we have questions already. You got to take the box, though. You have to have the box. Because this is being recorded, so please take the box. Yeah, I hear it. Don't drop the box. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would putting the number in directly cut off any of that?
Mm-hmm. Process? Yeah, that would cut out the DNS part
DNS
of it.
Yeah.
And then you're, at that point, worried about fetching the web page itself. So that's another hop in the process. So you don't have to worry about the DNS step, but then at this point, depending what protocol you're using, encrypted SNI isn't really a thing. Okay, I'm actually not going to go into all the details of that. Essentially, if you put the number directly into the box, they'll be able to see what number you're going to, and then they could do a reverse DNS lookup. But they won't be able to see the domain name itself.
Yeah, and it's not so much capturing it live. Like even with if we had encrypted DNS, if I'm here in the same room, I can see the traffic you're going to and see which websites you're going to. But that the content is encrypted in general. And so if I'm just looking at your web browsing here. The reason that we worry about it is not so much local people on your local network sniffing it, but the ISP and lots of servers in between. So if I do a www.dragoncon.com, it goes out to the root servers first. The root servers then say, here are my other servers that knows
well,
about.
Well, it doesn't actually go to the root servers, right? If you're if you're going to the DNS.
I guess, yeah, it goes.
If
it
you
goes
go to your
ISP's DNS. It, and then that ISP DNS, if it doesn't know .com just yet.
When it goes to the root server, at that point, they don't know the request came from you
from the
first place unless they're doing larger scale network analysis.
Right. But knowing that those sites, so going to particular sites, knowing that they're being accessed by that, ISP can help drill down. And so if you're looking, if you're talking about going to, sites that are very interesting to go to from, if government wanted to track where, the people that were going to particular websites, and it wasn't their website like google.com that everybody's going to, that leaves those little, breadcrumbs out that says somebody in this ISP
We're talking about ISPs, and I realize we super have not defined that term. Sorry about that, everyone. When I say ISP, I mean Comcast, and only Comcast.
Actually, Linksys is my favorite ISP. Linksys is always my favorite ISP.
That's a joke. Other half of the room. I mentioned that tragically, because unfortunately for me, Comcast is my only choice of ISP, because in this country we have the sort of system where there's only one internet service provider, is what it stands for, available for any particular person. You might have something else like Verizon, I don't even know what other people
I still
Charter.
Dial up to Mindspring, so yeah.
AT&T, great. Okay, so there's all these things, and this is the person that you buy your internet from is your ISP. So when I go and I'm trying to browse, other people are using the same ISP that I'm using, and the DNS server tends to be local to the ISP. It doesn't have to be, though. So I can choose who I want to hide my information with. You were mentioning OpenDNS before, right? Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. OpenDNS was kind of the first start at trying to say, you don't have to use your ISP's DNS. Here's this other open DNS servers. You can go and change the default settings on your router or your machine, and you can go use another DNS. And we're going to give you some extra features. We're going to block some stuff. I use it for my home to block sites that my kids shouldn't go to, instead of them trying to uninstall proxy software off their PC. I'm blocking at the DNS, meaning that if they try to go to playboy.com, it just doesn't resolve. They get a nice open DNS error message saying, sorry, you can't go there. So OpenDNS is last couple of years was purchased by Cisco. And so the openness is up to debate, but nonetheless, they started this idea of, hey, we can run this third-party DNS and provide security services, blocking really bad sites and provide that. And so other companies have jumped on that ship, along with Cloudflare,
yes,
that's hard to say, and a couple of others, and providing a alternative DNS. So we're not yet to encrypted, right? This is now just, I got another DNS, and so now you're not giving,
I specifically do not want Comcast to know what I'm doing.
Exactly.
So, they could still see the rest of the traffic going by, but then I could use a VPN for actually connecting to the sites. I could use Tor, and this is just protecting that final step that wouldn't have been able to be protected from. So if I really don't want Comcast to know what I'm doing because they are gouging me for money more and more every year, I just had a call with them last week where they tried to increase my price again, so I'm a little, that's where all this salt is coming from. Anyway, so I specifically do not want Comcast to know that I'm trying to visit Sonic's website and try to use them as an ISP instead. And so I can use Cloudflare's DNS server, I could use OpenDNS, Google has a DNS server. I can change the DNS server in my browser on my machine to go to a different one, and then Comcast won't see the DNS step of things. Then when we go to the site itself, it will be protected at other levels using different technologies.
So how many people here use a VPN service? Right, so the majority. I assume that when it's all the nice crowd here, that this is a lot of coming out of, hey, I run a VPN, but then a lot of VPN services talk about encrypted DNS or protected DNS and things like that. So let's just see what our audience is, where we're at. So.
Yeah,
Google's got public DNS. I've used Google's as well.
Until Cloudflare came along, this is my primary one right here.
Okay, but yeah, so we've been talking about this Cloudflare one, and this is the thing that all the encryption DNS nerds over here who work on certificate authorities have been excited about recently, because so what Cloudflare is doing differently is they're using a protocol called DNS over HTTPS. Oh, there's also DNS over TLS. It's slightly different. Whatever. Not going to go into those details. But essentially, what it does is it means that when you set it to this particular 1.1.1.1, and you're using Firefox and you turn it on, and maybe hopefully it'll eventually be on by default, it'll automatically use the Cloudflare DNS in a way that encrypts it so that it's encrypted from you to Cloudflare, and nobody else along the way can see the contents of those DNS queries. So that means my ISP won't be able to see the DNS queries that I'm doing because it'll be encrypted along the way. We have a question in the front, it sounds like, about this.
You have a question?
Wait
for the box. Wait for the box.
Come this way. You're going to be back on the speed.
Wait for the box.
Okay, sorry if this
I
think it's on.
There you go.
Sorry if this is derailing the conversation, because I don't mean that at all. But in the, you know, when you use a VPN, that sort of thing, but then visit sites that need cookies and stuff to operate, or the site doesn't operate, obviously they're gaining information from you. As far as I know, I'm blanking on it right now. It's the social security number of your electronic devices. The
IME?
Yes. That they'll also grab those and sell those for advertising and stuff like that, too. Again, not to derail, but how does that influence the whole conversation?
So it's all part of the same ecosystem here. Essentially, this is what it really comes down to is threat modeling. So when you're using a VPN, the question is, who are you trying to protect against? The site that you're going to at the endpoint is still going to get the information that you're sending to it, and that's when you have to worry about cookies, that's when you have to worry about things that they're putting directly in your browser. There's different protections against those sort of things. When you're talking about using encrypted DNS, when you're talking about using Tor, talking about using a VPN, what you're trying to protect is everyone else out there other than the site you're going to. So that means that you don't want your ISP to see it. It means that you don't want the people who have stuck splitters into the backbone of the internet and are catching all internet traffic that goes by to see it. It means when you're on the Wi-Fi, you don't have to worry about other people on the same Wi-Fi network as you. If you're home and you have perhaps other people in your family that you don't want seeing everything that you're doing, they won't be able to see any of those things when you use a VPN. But you're totally right that there's tons of tracking stuff that is going on at the level of the site that you're visiting. But from a network perspective, that's when you would want to use these other things. Yeah, that is a whole separate other topic that we can probably do another multiple panels on.
And if you didn't see it, I was actually just fixing my laptop so that it's actually using 1111 right now. So, yes. Nice. So
great.
For the rest of the evening, I will be doing that.
Okay, how are we on time? Time check.
Question?
Yep. Cool. I've got a whole bunch more topics on this topic, so if you guys have questions, feel free to jump in. Otherwise, we will get into all nitty-gritty technical parts.
Sure.
Installing my own DNS servers, is that a good alternative? I mean, by changing the DNS address, it's just like changing the person who is receiving information.
Yeah, so the question is, who do you like seeing it less? Just Cloudflare versus your ISP and everybody else who might be between you and the DNS server in your ISP.
If I buy, for example, a DigitalOcean instance and I install Bind9 or some other DNS service, do you think that's still a good alternative? I mean,
are you running it on your local machine?
It could be.
I mean, that's a pretty good. That is. If you are at the place where you're comfortable running Bind on your local machine and you have the hard drive space and you're fine with the caching times and things like that and you enjoy setting up your own servers, that's great because it doesn't need to be encrypted over the link because it's just going within your own machine.
Okay. But your local resolution, your local server is still going to go out through the connection, the TCP connection, UDP connection, UDP connection, to go to all these other servers. So your ISP will still see what you're doing.
Okay.
So what you really want to do is do something like SSL with 1111, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Because it aggregates it at the ISP. So if you got a whole bunch of other people to use the server on your machine, the DNS server on your machine, then they would be using the same one. So there's actually two types of DNS servers. There's possibly more types of DNS servers if you want to be really pedantic about it. But there's two main types of DNS servers. There's authoritative DNS servers, which hold the actual records of what it is, and then there's recursive or resolving DNS servers, which go and ask other DNS servers for the information. And so unless you have the authoritative DNS server itself, the DNS servers are all talking to each other. And so at some point along there, it's going to have to go ask a different DNS server. And the question then just becomes, how many other people are asking that DNS server for this information, and who can see the queries along the way to that DNS server? Cool.
And as well, if you have malware on your machine, which you know a lot of us do and don't know it, being able to capture that, because again, if it's not encrypted, and capture it on the wire, that malware can also, you know, collect that information. Adware, malware, you know, that installed toolbar, things like that. So
being able to do encrypted DNS, awesome, but it's not completely rolled out yet in Firefox, and you have to be using Firefox. What if you want to use Chromium or some other type of browser? You've built your own custom browser. So what if you do want to be using encrypted DNS right now? You were mentioning before, I was hoping you could tell us about some of the options if I want to go turn it on right now.
Yeah, so encrypted DNS right now is the first option here, Cloudflare 1111, Firefox. Extra setting, you'll have to set that up. All right. Fairly straightforward, but you know, if you can't run Firefox or you have other want to look at other options. OpenDNS has released a software called DNS Crypt, and what it is basically a little DNS proxy that runs on your local machine, then you will change your DNS server to 127.0.0.1 and query your local machine, and then it creates an encrypted tunnel out to OpenDNS and provides it that way. So that is another option. I've read through the tutorials. It's probably a couple more steps than the Cloudflare, but again, another option. There are a couple, and if you're very technical, you run your own WRT router, there are a couple of plugins for the OpenWRT router that allow you to do this at your home router. If you want to use, there's a Linux version of DNS Crypt from OpenDNS that allowed you to plug that into WRT. So those are the other options right now for doing it, is either Cloudflare or using the OpenDNS, or there's a whole lot of the VPN providers that also do something similar. And so looking at your VPN setup, go to see what your DNS settings are after you install your VPN. Is it using your VPN services DNS? Or is it going to point back toward, itself and do a local loopback like I just described? And so there's a couple of methods there, and that again can go down a rabbit hole on what the best ways that VPN adapters are doing it, but that's kind of like a third option is using what's provided by your VPN.
Okay, so I was hoping we'd actually change the discussion a bit to what seems to me to be the elephant in the room here, which is the question of centralization. So it's great that Cloudflare is putting up this DNS, but I mean, Cloudflare already has enough of an eye into the internet. Do they really need more of an eye into what everybody is doing at any given time? Not necessarily. The one great thing about having each ISP, one of the great things about having each ISP have its own DNS server is that no single ISP knows what every single person is doing with their DNS queries. And so if every single person automatically has their DNS server set to a single server, that means that server is getting a really central viewpoint into what everybody's doing. When Firefox agreed to set the Cloudflare thing as their DNS, they made Cloudflare enter into a really good privacy policy, which is very preserving. Cloudflare promises not to keep your data, but other people might pop up ones like Google DNS might turn this on, OpenDNS might turn this on, and they won't necessarily be beholden to the same constraints. So it enters this question of what can we do about this problem here? And in my personal opinion, I think the correct answer in the end is to have every ISP and every DNS server and bind all use this encrypted DNS protocol by default. And that's the way I see it, but I think this is still, in my opinion, an open question, and especially if people in the audience have opinions about this, I would love to hear, especially if anyone runs their own DNS server, how do you feel about turning on encrypted DNS yourself for any services that you run? Yeah, we've got one behind.
I think having encrypted DNS on by default on your browser is a great thing. Doesn't just stop people from snooping, but it can stop man-in-the-middle attacks. Right now, somebody could capture your data in your DNS request in the middle, change it, and change it to a different website that it reports to, coming back.
Yeah.
So yeah, I highly recommend using encrypted DNS if you can. It would fix that issue as well.
That is a great point. Man in the middle attack is an attack where you jump onto a connection and you change the contents as they're going. By the way, essentially, if you two are trying to talk to each other and you're telling me a secret, I'm telling him a secret, I can just change the secret in the middle if they don't encrypt it to each other along the way. I see another question popping up over here. Yeah, or a comment or statement, whatever.
Wait for the box. There we go.
So, I mean, this sounds great that you have this new protocol, but once you spread it beyond, you know, Cloudflare and a couple of others, it'll have to be open. Now all of a sudden I'll have to have trusted and untrusted DNS, so I could still do a man in the middle if I sign my fake DNS server. Are there methods being put in place to protect against that?
Are you talking about like downgrade attacks?
No, so I'm man in the middle, right?
Yeah.
So DNS is trivial now. So now if I got this HTTPS answer, could I just have my fake DNS server be a signed DNS site and give the answer back to them? Are they validating? Now, right now, it's probably only one, but if you make this an open standard and there's hundreds of them, how will the browser trust it? Are you going to have a list of trusted DNS servers on the internet?
So the solution to that is another DNS security thing that's not encrypted DNS. It's commonly referred to as DNSSEC. All right.
Oh,
and that's,
ooh,
yeah,
well,
and that's where
we could.
That's something else. it's a different problem.
So the way this problem is solved is the same way it's solved with HTTPS. Essentially, the DNS server needs to get a certificate. So the same way that a website can get a certificate, the DNS server gets a certificate and uses that, so you know you're talking to the particular DNS server that you were trying to talk to.
Totally agree. Is this being addressed in this? I mean, DNSSEC isn't super popular.
Oh, this isn't DNSSEC. This is DNS over HTTPS, which is a different protocol.
I know. I was just saying it kind of goes in conjunction with it, but I'll stop talking about it now.
Oh, you're trying to turn this into a DNSSEC conversation. Oh, no, that is not what this is at all. You don't have a list of that. That's what makes this better. Okay, for those of you who came to this room because you wanted to talk about DNSSEC, the reason this is better than DNSSEC is because you do not have a trusted list of servers. Any DNS server can be a DNS server, and you know to trust it because it has a certificate, just in the same way that regular servers have regular old certificates, and you don't need a trusted list of every server on the internet. Okay, we can take one more question about DNSSEC, and then we are not talking about DNSSEC.
That took me in a completely different way, because you have DNS authority. I mean, if I'm the authority DNS for a particular location, somebody else can't just change it and take it away from me and say they're a DNS for that location, because mine's registered. My IP address and my DNS name are registered, and that's what gives me the
authority.
They're
registered at the authoritative server?
Yeah.
But you still have interceptions in the traffic that goes to
your
server.
Right, but the question was about what would prevent me from just bringing up my own DNS server and calling the authoritative for somebody else. You can't do that.
The DNS servers can still lie just as much as they can now. This isn't covered by that at all.
So my question, though, is about, so you want to encrypt the fact that Comcast, so they don't know where I'm going.
Yes.
But when I make my request to go there, they know where I'm going because they have the IP address I'm trying to go to. So
after you've gotten the IP address?
Yeah.
Not if you're using a VPN as well.
A VPN, then they don't know to begin with because the VPN server is in a different location, not even on Comcast.
Many VPNs do not they leak the DNS entry. That's the problem. Is all VPNs are not created equal, especially on mobile devices. You can easily see that's I've closed a lot of cases on DNS entries alone because the VPN that they chose.
Yeah, some VPNs actually leak the DNS lookups, so you have to be careful about that.
Right, but if I wanted to prevent Comcast from knowing where I'm going, then I use a VPN service that will protect that, and then the problem's gone.
That's another way of doing it, but not
the value of this.
And if the VPN didn't leak it in the first place, we wouldn't need to be having this conversation.
And VPNs are paid services, and you've got to trust them.
Right.
So again, layers of trust and all of that. So it's another way of solving this problem, but that's not necessarily financially feasible for everyone. And that the idea here is we are extending. This is an RFC. This is a a way of fixing a very basic protocol built 30, 40 years ago, and this is the, you know, the effort that we're trying to put forward is to say, you know, we can fix the protocol without, you know, needing to require you to pay, you know, for a VPN service.
Okay, so who here is in an IETF working group? Show of hands. I'm so sorry for all of you, but okay, let's talk about some of, okay, IETF, Internet Engineering Task Force, is the one that decides what's going on with all the protocols that make up the internet. So one of the reasons that you want encrypted DNS is because there's been a deadlock in IETF politics between encrypted DNS and encrypted SNI, server name indication. It essentially means that when I'm going to a website, I'm going to a particular server located at a particular IP address, but it doesn't necessarily need to know the domain name, and you can encrypt the domain name until you get to the server. So a single server can be hosting multiple domains on it. So, if assuming we're not using a VPN now, if we want encrypted SNI, the argument goes, well, why bother doing that? Because the domain name is just going to get leaked when you go to the DNS server. And why bother doing DNS? Because assuming you're not using a VPN, or you're using a, assuming you're not using a VPN, why bother encrypting the DNS? Because the server name is just going to get leaked when you're making the HTTPS connection in the first place. So another great thing that encrypted DNS does is it breaks this deadlock and means that we can have both of them be encrypted. Because once you have encrypted DNS, you might as well encrypt the SNI, because then you get this nice thing where if I'm running an Nginx server or an Apache server and I have hundreds of domain names on my site, someone can come to my site and a network observer won't be able to see which address they were going to, because the name will be encrypted. So that's another benefit there, is even if you're not using a VPN. Okay, I think I saw a question back over there, right behind. Is that still a question? A comment, statement, discussion?
Drop the box.
Next.
For a home consumer that's going out and wanting to protect themselves, put DNS, put a VPN, put all these things in, to add these levels of going, okay, maybe a few people have my stuff. That all begins on a networking router level, and it's hard to point someone at Best Buy, which is the only place you're gonna buy it, because it's either that or Amazon, and say, you need to protect these things, but you can't really truly explain why they need protection without going over their heads. Do you recommend just grabbing something and trying to put your manual settings and go through these tutorials, or hit it with a different firmware, get something like WDRT and PFSense and that kind of thing in order to use plugins in order for it to work a little bit easier. So what would you recommend for someone that just is getting into the game and wanting to do that?
Yeah, I mean, if you can, you know, fix it on the router level, and they don't have to support it on their endpoint, then, you know, you fix it for them, right? And as long as it doesn't require a lot of maintenance and update, you can go and set your parents up to, you know, that now they're set up on the router and they won't know any better, then that's obviously the better answer there. These other settings, you know, both with Cloudflare or with DNSCrypt is that, you know, there's stuff on the endpoint, and if they mess that up, they go use Chrome instead of IE or whatever. You know, that's where you can have support problems there. So yes, obviously fixing on the router is easier.
I'm more into endpoint security, honestly. I think that doing it in the router, like, it's not as good, because if you have someone inside the network, you have to worry about insider threats. Like,
there's so many iOS devices, like your Fires and your Echoes and your Things and your wiretaps and your everything, that it's hard to put these locks on everybody.
Yeah.
Getting your kid to hand you the iPad so you can put VPN, you know, all these things, you can't really always.
So what we want is we want the people who develop the devices to put it in by default.
Right. And they won't do that.
Well, no, people are starting to do that, you know? It's going slowly, but
change the DNS settings is, you know, something. I mean, that was a way we used to hack the Xbox games, is you would change, you know, get the Xbox to go to a different DNS, and then you could, you know, get on, you know, get stuff, you know, slid into the network connection. And so that's the reason that they don't want to you know, allow those devices to go outside that. Even Chrome, if DNS is not working on your machine, Chrome will say, hey, I'm just going to go check out 8.8.8.8. because I tried to do a DNS lookup and it didn't work. But I know Google's there, so I'm just going to go out and do, you know, it's so annoying if you set up a block, you say, I only am using OpenDNS. I don't want my kids changing my DNS server so that they go watch, you know, playboy.com. So, you know, I'm going to block it. And then I start seeing 8.8, you know, outreaches to 8.8. So that kind of stuff happens all the time. And so, you know, until we sit there and insist that, hey, guys, we want to be able to have this control. We want to be able to have and make those requests of our different manufacturers. You know, that's where, you know, this kind of, you know, motion gets happening is that people want this and demand it from the manufacturer. So let's get out there and tell them what we want.
I've seen this question right up here, and it was from before. Right up here, blue shirt.
There you go. So is there pushback on implementing this, getting this, because you talked about, you know, you're trying to get it in devices, but I mean, considering is like a Comcast or ISPs, are they pushing back saying, you know, we don't want this or anything like that?
You know, I think the only pushback I've seen isn't so much from a we don't want this perspective, more of a, oh, it's a new technology that we haven't quite figured it out, or I just don't want to put in the effort to implement it. I actually personally haven't seen anyone say, this is a bad idea, we don't want it for this particular technology. But if someone else has seen that, I am happy to be corrected. I think, you know, I'm actually going to ask you all, and if you don't know, hopefully someone in this room will, because I am too young to know the answer to this one, which is why, I mean, I have a guess. Okay, so my question is, why did ISPs start having DNS in the first place? Like, why wasn't it just some people running DNS servers anywhere? Like, why in the ISPs? That's kind of weird. I guess it's because it's right there and it's easy and you can all just set it up DHCP right there. But I think I saw the first hand right up here at the front. Who wants to tell me why you learned things that when you were alive when I wasn't?
Wait.
We want the box. Tell the people at the back of the room too, using this magic box.
Wait for the box. Always wait for the box.
I mean, my guess would be that in the early days, I mean, everything was kind of bulletin boards, and you had to know the number to be able to get onto the site, and it was cumbersome. Is that what you're asking, why it was changed to a naming system instead of a number?
No, why is it the ISPs system that ended up running the DNS servers? You can toss it to whichever hand you want to toss it to.
It's first hop, that's the thing. Yeah, you're right there. You're right there.
Was the internet that slow back then?
Well, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm out of the feedback zone.
You don't have to walk up here. You can actually just speak into the box.
No, it's like five.
That's why the speaker.
Feedback zone.
Oh, feedback. Sorry.
Yeah, ISP, when everybody started getting on the internet, there weren't that many root servers, and everybody was pounding on the root servers going for .com and then on down. There was also an opportunity for the.
Jeez.
Me. There was also an opportunity for the. Jeez, I can't get out of feedback.
If you look at it ugly, that helps.
get it closer to your mouth. That way they can.
Is that better?
Down. That way they can curve down.
Yeah, dial down the game. Sorry, my voice is shot. There was an opportunity to monetize too. So if I could look at who my customers were, where they were going, I can sell that information to advertisers. So I've got a captured audience. If I have a Verizon or a Comcast or something.
Were they actually doing that though in like
the
80s? Back in the 80s. No, I know today,
80s?
Obviously, sure, but in, you know,
well, I think they
the
were
old
doing
days.
That back in the 80s. It was more of a distributed thing because not
right.
many.
But
not,
when you first started
servers.
Doing it, before they realized they can sell it.
It's UDP, and UDP is, you know, you can drop that traffic. And so with any UDP traffic, you want as close to the endpoint as possible.
And it really was because the internet was that unreliable.
Well, UDP is like that in general. You don't want to put UDP services that many hops away. Yep.
I think I see someone back there has something to say, too.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it was probably just started as a convenience, but I had a different question.
Shoot.
I was actually really hoping that somebody in this room like had started one of those ISPs. Oh, yeah.
I used to work for Charter Communications. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, it's a combination of all of those. It's for the home users, it's convenience because you can just use DHCP and get a DNS server that way. they can just connect. I mean, and also there is, yes, selling all of the lookups, so to see what people are doing, and sell that just for sales things, and also, but yeah, those are the two main things. That originally it was to conserve bandwidth, because you have one DNS server that's doing the lookup, and then it's just distributing it to all of your users that are connecting. So a little bit of all of those that have already been mentioned.
Cool. Okay, cool. I think that's enough on that topic. It looks like we had a separate question right next to over there.
So if you already have something like a PyHole running, is there a convenient way to get this running on that system?
If you already have what?
If you already have something like a PyHole running on your system, is there a convenient way to set this up?
I think this person over here in the audience is excited about talking about doing this.
Good job.
I can answer that question. Yes, you can put it on the same Pi with DNSCrypt. It's really, it'll probably take you an hour to do. It's a very easy setup. So, if you Google DNSCrypt on PyHole, there's I think like the third thing that's going to show up for you on Google is like a Reddit link with full walkthrough of how to do it.
It's on Reddit.
No, it's not. It's not a button. No, it takes some setup, but not much.
Great. Okay, I saw a bunch of other hands before. There we go. There's another one. Cool.
I don't know how you feel about using name brands, but maybe you could give the name brands anyway, realizing that in 2 weeks I think I'll all be different, but what VPNs are in the thumbs up category for the DNS leaking? What VPNs are the really sucky ones that are just selling all your information to communist Russia, I mean, for example?
I don't have an answer to this question because I actively try not to use VPNs because I work on HTTPS professionally, and I want HTTPS to be so good, and TLS 1.4, I guess, now. That was a joke because TLS 1.3 just came out and it doesn't have encrypted SNI, but I hope that it will be in TLS 1.4 when it comes out in a decade. Because I care about making the HTTPS ecosystem good, I don't use a VPN because I want to do that. But if you two have questions about which VPN you like, go ahead.
I haven't got to one to trust one yet, so I set up my own server and I VPN to my own. that's my level, apparently.
Maybe in the back over there we have an opinion?
I had that same question a while back, too. I discovered a link on Reddit for a site called thatoneprivacysite.net, and it had a full breakdown on all the big VPNs out there, like literally the 36 VPNs it was comparing.
And what was that site? Can you say that again?
thatoneprivacysite.net. And it's really good. He put together a spreadsheet, and this is just like a dude that wanted to help people with this question. He put together a spreadsheet with comparisons showing, well, this is in a 14 eyes country, or this is based out of this country that has, like, you know, good privacy laws. And the ones I found that really looked good, the only one that I really liked was Moldad, I think. And they only accept Bitcoin. They only deal personally with the hosting data centers that host their VPN. Anyway, it's a bunch of links you have to go through there, but it's worth looking at.
Now that we was talking about it, Proton, Mail. They do now have a VPN service as well,
yeah.
And it's all based in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that their threat model that fits their level of paranoia, then Proton is a fairly trusted site. So,
yeah.
I mean, the probably best thing to do if you're able is to set up your own on your own cloud service and just use like Streisand or something like that, and then you know what it's actually running and you know what software it's running, because any other VPN service, you don't know what they're doing. Maybe they rolled their own and like it has bad crypto or something, right? But assuming that not everybody wants to do that, that's when you can use this site here. Streisand, a software that does a whole bunch of other things too, but one of the things it can do is set up a VPN for you. Like Barbara, but just the last name, Streisand. But that's like you set it up yourself. Like you either set up your own physical server, or you get like some cloud server, and you install it and have to deal with it and do your own software updates. So, and I could very easily derail right now into a whole discussion on whether or not it's better to have other people do your tech ops for you or for you to do it yourself and have to worry about doing your updates for your own server and the relative privacy trade-offs, but I think we will stop this here. I wonder if this site was made by the people who are all green on this list.
I don't know.
Nobody's all green, so.
No, nobody's all green.
Cool. Okay, other questions? Comments? Opinions?
I have a better answer for your DNS.
Go for it.
I have a better answer for your DNS question, like why it was made that way. So it's hierarchical, right? So back when, in the 80s when they created all this stuff, the servers were not, they couldn't just have a giant rack full of servers that responded to one IP address that answered thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of requests a second. So it was designed to be hierarchical, so you work your way up the chain. If your ISP doesn't know the answer, then they, or if your local node doesn't know the answer, it goes to the ISP, and it, if it doesn't know the answer, it goes to the next level, and then eventually it makes its way back up to the root server. But back in the day, you didn't just ask the root server every time.
I mean, you still don't ask the root server every time.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure that answers. But it was
designed to be
ISP.
Hierarchical, so that's why the ISP runs DNS.
But anyone can run it if it's hierarchical. I could run it on my own personal server and just let you all know. Like, right. The ISPs didn't have to run it themselves. Somebody else could have run it, and when you go to DHCP with your ISP, they could send you to someone else. But I think we were done with that one. I see a hand back over there again. VPN friend.
Yeah, just taking one step back, I don't know, I think everybody here is pretty savvy, but just sharing my opinion about VPNs is they are so dicey because it's basically a man in the middle. So I think a lot of people rely on them thinking, oh, I'm secure. No, you're sending all your data to somebody that could be very malicious, and they just seem, so I use it very judiciously, and I think encrypting your DNS and making sure you're using end-to-end encryption and just being very judicious and maybe setting up a pfSense router or DDWRT, like you're saying, to add some additional security is way better approach than just lazily installing someone else's software.
You know, that actually reminds me. Yeah. So this is fits in with net neutrality, though, because so
what's that?
Pretending we had net neutrality in this country, and hopefully we'll. If you're in California, who finally just passed its net neutrality protections bill? Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting it back one state at a time. That's why I'm tired. Anyway. So if you do, assuming we do have net neutrality, then what you're doing when you use a VPN is you're taking this internet traffic from going through just your ISP to also going through this server somewhere. And a server, a service running on a particular computer somewhere, is not protected by net neutrality. So you're giving your information to a different party. You're taking this information away from your ISP, who might have been bound by net neutrality, and giving it over to someone else who's not going to be bound by net neutrality. So it is a trade-off that you're making then. Like, you don't want your ISP to have it, you don't want people on your local network to have it, and you want it to always be encrypted, but by giving it to a VPN, this VPN can do whatever they want with it, and you never know. So yeah, you're totally right, gotta
and
be
it's really
with
not
them.
It's really not that hard though to like buy a $10 a month DigitalOcean box and run OpenVPN on it. So if you really want a VPN of your own that you can trust, that would be the way to go.
Yeah, I love the amount of mobile tools because, you know, especially on iOS, it limits the number of things you can do. So to solve different problems, they're like, well, if you just go and set this up as a VPN, then I can go and modify stuff and fix this problem that you want to have as a mobile app that I can easily do on Android, but I want it on iOS. And yeah, I've uninstalled numerous VPN apps over the from my parents, like, all right, give me your phone. Let's see how. All right, so this thing, and one of them was, I think, was originally, I forget the problem that it was solving, but The Facebook bought it, and it was just one of his VPN. I think it was measuring your bandwidth and can give you compression, and it's supposed to speed up your connection and all that, make your phone run faster. And it was just a VPN and just collecting all sorts of bukus of information. And then Facebook bought it and didn't really put their label on it. Just they started sucking up that data as well. So probably people in this room, spread the word that VPN on mobile. Make sure that you wanted to do it, and that you're not just using it to solve some other type of problem. So,
okay, more questions, comments, concerns? Oh, yep, back at the front here.
So, does setting up your own VPN, do you run into issues with state laws, laws dealing with storing your logs? Stuff like that, because I know that's a big deal with VPNs. You don't want them storing the logs of where you've been and all that stuff. So, do you run into, I'm in Georgia and I set up my own VPN. Do I run into those issues? Do
I
have to?
Can't think of that. Are you talking like GDPR sort of storage issues?
Well, no, I'm just talking about like if the government or the law, police or whatever, they come in and say, hey, we want to know. What your logs is, things that you store for where you...
You're not required to keep anything along this line. Even if you're a business, but definitely on a personal level, there's no U.S.
That's why there's two different things to talk about here.
States or different countries, because they're not beholden to those...
So if you're running it for yourself... It's one thing, right? Like, you're just running your own personal VPN server and, like, your own logs, which are essentially the same logs as logs on your machine. That's a different story than if you're running it for other people. Okay. So it sounds like you're more talking about the latter case here?
Well, I'm talking about for me.
Okay.
But then it's like, okay, so it's limited to me, but then I can't give it to anyone else?
So, okay, do we all remember the All Writs Act? No, we don't all remember the All Writs Act because we don't all spend all our time following every possible legal thing. So there was this thing in San Bernardino with an iPhone. You may have heard about the government was trying to compel Apple to help to rewrite their software to make it so that the software worked differently so it would store the logs. And it got it was left unresolved in the end. It's pretty clear that they were trying to create some case law. So that we think now that they were trying to create some case law to make it so that Apple would be forced to rewrite their software to store logs in a way that the government wanted them to, essentially, metaphorically, in this particular case. Store logs is the metaphor here.
Right.
But it's still an open question of to what extent can the government compel a site to store particular logs. So if you start off and you set up your Streisand instance to not have any logs, you're probably fine doing that until something happens, at which point I'll get you the number of one of the lawyers, because I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer, so this cannot be legal advice, and there's no client relationship.
No legal advice is offered, and no client... Okay.
Yeah, that thing. That's the disclaimer over here. And I am obviously not an expert in state laws, but if you set it up yourself, you're allowed to run your own software on your own server and do what it wants for now. Yeah. Someone is a lawyer.
I think the big caveat that would apply to people is that if you know that you're going to be sued, then you can't be destroying evidence that you know is going to be part of a legal. Right. So if you know that that's impending, you've been told that suit is coming by lawyers sending you stuff, then you can't destroy evidence in that case.
But if you want to set it up to never store the logs in the first place,
that's different.
Right. You can totally do that. Signal.
That's what Cloudflare is doing. Cloudflare says they're only going to hold those records for 12 hours. So, yeah.
Why would I ever use a VPN that I create and not somewhere else?
Because it's on a server somewhere, and let's say you're on somebody else's network, you're at your friend's house, and you're on their Wi-Fi or something. As opposed to like using one that exists already?
Well, the thing I'm trying to protect against if I'm going on a VPN is so that they can't find out where I'm going, whoever they are.
Oh, and then you're saying
and if
then
it's my
they'll
own
know.
Server, they'll know where I'm going.
So if you're using a cloud service, it'll just look like it's coming from that particular cloud,
right.
And they won't
yeah.
know it's coming from your particular
so
instance.
So why would I set one up in my
on my
in your own house? Yeah. I have no idea why you'd set it.
You wouldn't do it in your own house.
Could set it up in your own house if you're more worried about your friend's network and you're over at their house and you want it to go through your ISP. That is a real edge case.
Or no. What happens is I work in IT, and everybody wants to get around the proxies at IT, so they sit around and surf Facebook when that's blocked, and so they set their own VPNs at home just to get around work-based. Or hotels.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, So there is some use cases for doing it at your own house. But the point is that DigitalOcean, AWS, those are so cheap that it doesn't make sense anymore to do that. Yeah, do that in the cloud much easier, much safer.
Yeah, I've had Wi-Fi hotspots that block certain kinds of traffic. And so I have my own VPN set up on my server, which is conveniently at port 443, so nobody blocks it. It's so nice.
Oh, you can. Okay. If you're on one of the, I'm going to say it, whatever, fun story. If you're on one of those things that like blocks some type of traffic and not others, they'll tend to not block DNS queries. So if you want to get onto the internet, even though they're not actually letting you onto the internet, to get to the captive portal page in the first place, you have to go through DNS. So if you set it up and pretend it's a DNS service, but you're actually tunneling all your traffic through DNS, just saying it's possible.
Yes, it's been done.
That's your preview for Hacking 201 tonight.
It's been done. Come back at 10 o'clock. We'll talk about it.
With the net neutrality law that just passed in California, is that going to actually kind of bleed over to the rest of the states? Because if Amazon's selling to someone in California, that means they have to write new protocols that fit their new net neutrality. Does that kind of mean that they're kind of protecting the whole country in some ways because of the law? You have to do it in California, so it's going to actually affect us in the same way?
It'll certainly make it an easier sell for other states, and it's a model, it's a bill, like the language of the bill is something that the other states can model it on, and it might encourage the companies to act in a particular way, but it's not going to require companies to act in a particular way in every state, which is our ultimate goal.
Is that even passed, as in signed? It's very likely the governor will sign it.
Okay.
But has he signed it?
It passed the Senate and the Assembly. I guess I'm counting chickens before the eggs are born or whatever.
being a politician, who knows what he'll
good,
do.
Okay, fair point. I guess I got a little overexcited. It passed in the state Senate and the state Assembly, which were the two major hurdles, and our governor isn't entirely evil, so hopefully it will pass the rest. We've got 2 minutes. I saw a whole bunch of hands go up like 3 minutes ago. Did you all say what you wanted to say? Or did someone else say it? Okay, in the back.
I just want to tell you guys that y'all are awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. Wow. We like you too.
Thank you. Please rate this panel highly. That's all we need to worry about.
Okay, one last question. I think I saw a hand at the front here.
Question.
Yeah.
A real question.
Or, comments are fine too.
Another one of those. That's
discussions.
Fun. Those are good.
Fun stories.
I want to know, with all of this work that you're doing, does this also apply to IPv6 when it becomes anything more than a novelty?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. this has no impact on IPv6.
IPv6 has not been a novelty for at least a couple of years because I think T-Mobile actually uses IPv6.
No, pretty much all phones.
All phones do because they can't have enough IP addresses for that.
And FYI, this is a funny story. Used an OpenDNS on my router, everything's looking good, and then I notice my kid's looking at a website that I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be blocked. And I go and look, and that's, my system was using an IPv6 DNS. And I'm like, excuse me, I did not set this up. And at some point, my ISP decided to issue an IPv6 DNS address to my router, which my router said, I like that better than 6 is more than 4. So there we go. I'm gonna hand out this IPv6 and completely overrode my manual setting.
It's two better.
It is. And so, So if you do set up your own routers, I mean, just double check and make sure that you've got both IPv6 and IPv4 settings covered. So do we have time for one more?
We don't technically have time, but if you could say it in 10 seconds or less.
10 seconds.
All right. I was just going to mention that a lot of ISPs have been quietly rolling out IPv6 to the consumers. So, and I know Charter was one of them as right before I left Charter.
It was all his fault.
And,
Cool. Another okay, I want to thank you all for coming today.
Thank you all. Thank you all.